Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Inner Wisdom Radio. This is Mary Phelan. Thanks for joining me today. I am airing at a different time, but I'm still open to doing readings or answering questions. Call in with any type of question. I have been in the metaphysical, spiritual world for my entire life, but teaching many different topics from psychic development, dream interpretation, tarot, and a lot of forms of healing for many years. So if you have any questions, this would be a good opportunity to call in. Well, I will be doing readings today, but I thought as a topic to get the conversation started, I would talk about families and how family dynamics really do shape us and have a big tell about the rest of our life or have a great bearing on who we become when we grow up. For instance, any family or group of people, for that matter, will have a dynamic. There'll be somebody that's the laid-back person, somebody that's the controller, somebody that is the leader, somebody that is the comedian. There are various roles that we all take on. And the dynamic of early family life will really mold and shape where you go, even in your career. Because if we don't break out of the identities given to us early in life, what we tend to do is recreate that family dynamic over and over, whether that's with our spouse or in the workplace. And often our coworkers are acting out unresolved things from our childhood. And so if you're wondering why you are being stuck in this job that has a lot of dysfunction going on in it, you may want to look at your own history and see what is the harmony that's holding you there. For instance, if you were the scapegoat in your family, and a scapegoat is the person that everybody blames everything on, and when this happens early in life, a person can take that on to the extent that they believe that everything is their fault. And so they will grow up and they will attract husbands or wives that also blame them for everything to validate what they feel is true about themselves. And often that happens in their workplace too. You get to the workplace and you'll have a position that everybody is counting on you, or you have some pivotal role that everybody can blame them. And another thing that, or another niche or box that we get painted in early in life can be the slacker, the person that never does anything. And even if you are a very motivated person, you can find yourself in situations where you forgot to pay your bills, you forgot that your wife was waiting with dinner, and you keep messing up all the time. And it's not really even about you. It's not about messing up. It's about this idea that that's who you are. So I would challenge everybody that's listening to look in your own life. What identity are you carrying around that you got from your family? And of course, there are other places that we get identities, but let's focus on the family for now. What were you in the family? Were you the baby? Were you the always trying to prove yourself to everybody else that you had something of merit to offer the world? Or were you the oldest that always was responsible for everything and never got to be a child yourself because there were always younger ones than you, and so you always had to step up? And is that still acting out in your life today? I think you can find a lot of interesting stuff about yourself just by analyzing this. And what was the dynamic? Are you a female and had a female sibling that you were in constant competition with? Or maybe a male and you had a brother that you were in constant competition with, and is that being recreated in your life today? For instance, are you at work and there is always a guy that that is getting more attention or getting more raises than you are. If you look at these dynamics, you can change it at a level where you don't have to fight and tangle with the outside forces or the people that are playing this game with you. And it is, pardon me, it is a much better way to handle it there. And maybe a little background on that might not be a bad idea. If we look at our subconscious mind as being the software program that runs us, and we have pretty much its whole job is to record based on our beliefs about reality, to record reality via our beliefs or through the filter of our beliefs. And when we have something that has programmed us, that subconscious mind will do everything in its power to keep everything normal for us, lovingly, even though it may be acting against us. So if there are things that seem to be acting against you in your life, the best thing to do is to go in and find what is that subconscious program and reprogram it, and that's how real change happens. And we have a call, so I'm going to go ahead and pick that up. And it is area code 212. And hi, you're on the air. What can I do for you today?
Hi. I was just told that I can call you in for like a reading or a dream or something like that. So,
sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have tons of questions, but obviously can't ask all of them. Anyway, so I have this dream of it's a repeating dream of water, being in water, and being really, really scared. And also, like, I'm afraid of water in real life. So I was wondering what the dream is telling me and if it's related to real life.
Well, I have a few things to say, and then I'll ask you a couple of questions about your dream specifically. In dreams, often, water can represent consciousness and it can represent emotion. So sometimes when scary dreams about water happen in the dream time, it could be talking about an emotion or a feeling or a situation in life that maybe you're afraid to look at. So and then secondarily, it can happen that we have past lives where something may have happened around water and that could create a fear. So what are the nature of your dreams? Are they always the same, or is the water different every time, like sometimes an ocean, sometimes a river?
Yeah, once it was a river, once it was, yeah, I mean, it's really, I think once it was an ocean, it's really, I don't always get a sense of what it is as much as I'm kind of surrounded by it or approaching and need to get out.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you had this since you were a child, or is this fairly new for you?
This is fairly new.
Well, what I would suggest is looking at what situation in your life is going on around the time when the dreams happen, or especially when they began, maybe like a few weeks prior to that. Because if you're surrounded by water, that can also mean that you're isolated and you feel abandoned and you don't feel that you've got the support that you really could use in your life. And so perhaps a situation happened, like somebody betrayed you at work, or a friend could have abandoned you or something, could create dreams like that. And I would really look into that. In the dream, are you afraid of drowning, or are you afraid more of being stuck out there in the midst of all that water?
The second one.
Okay.
I'm afraid of being, not afraid of drowning, afraid of just being alone in the water.
Okay. And I would definitely say that does have a lot to do with feeling like people don't really understand how you feel about things. Was there anything going on in your life when you first remember having those dreams? Was there any big shift?
I don't remember when I started having those dreams. I mean, I am really alone right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, depressed and, like, feel like nobody cares. But why would it express itself as a fear in a dream? I mean, I'm not...
Well,
it's not... I mean, it's depression. It's not fear.
Yeah, well, I think that fear is really underlies all things, even depression, because the fear of something, the resistance to something. And fear in dreams, there are really a lot of reasons, and we probably could have a really long conversation about this because there are so many contributing factors. As I was saying, often past life fears will show up in dreams, but I think it's more your fear of being out there alone. It can come through in that way. Like, let's say in your waking life, you feel like you want to be a very strong person and be out there, and you put on this image of being put together. And then in the dreams, it can show coming through as a fear, like a fear of being vulnerable, fear of opening up to people. And it's through this fear of opening up to people or allowing people in to the inner parts of you that then depression comes, because the resistance, the fear of opening up, so therefore you have a resistance to opening up. Any resistance often causes a depression of sorts. And there are probably other contributing factors too. Is there anything else you remember from the dreams, like how you got there, or is all you're remembering is being out in the midst of a lot of water?
Let's see. One dream is, I think I'm crossing a river, and I open my eyes in my dream. I'm in the water, and I'm so terrified that I close my eyes. I'm still terrified, and I'm trying to desperately reach the other side so I'm not in the water anymore. Another dream, I think actually in relatively shallow water, and there's somebody there with me, and I'm holding on, and also thinking, okay, before this person disappears, I better find land. So I find land.
Well, do you ever feel like, are you in a relationship right now?
No.
Do you find that you feel you lose yourself when you're in love with someone?
Probably. I'm not really sure what that means.
Okay. Well, I guess sometimes, and this is true, I think, for all of us to some extent, but when we fall in love, we can start doing things that aren't necessarily in our own best interest, like moving to another state or doing anything to keep this relationship going. So sometimes people can have a fear of really being in a deeply in-depth relationship because they can feel like they'll lose themselves. They'll sell themselves out or something. And that can also be represented just generically as being stuck in water like that. And also water, since it represents consciousness as well, it could be just you trying to figure out the world and the nature of reality, because it's this vast, ever-changing, endless space of consciousness. So I think maybe it could be both of those. What I would suggest is look at your dreams and really examine how you feel about opening up and sharing with people. And this may not be the format for you to really open up in that way, but it's something for you to look at and say if that represented emotions and relationships with people, and that sometimes relationships are shallow and you want to get to the other side of it because you just don't want to be stuck in the shallow relationship. Or if you feel like you want to keep it more shallow, and just ask yourself those questions internally. I think you might get some guidance there. Would you like me to reading or anything for you? I know you said you had a couple of questions. Is there another question
you
have?
Well, first I wanted to ask, like, I thought with a reading you actually tune into my dream and figure out exactly what's happening. Like, not for me to figure out, but you actually tune in and tell me exactly what's going on.
I was doing a dream interpretation for you, which is using the symbolism in your dream. And first of all, I guess I'll lay this premise out. The power does not lie in any reader out there. It lies in yourself. And I could be giving you gold, and unless you open up and receive it, then it doesn't mean anything to you. And so I was giving you the keys to really exploring what this dream means to you, and that's what I got. That's the interpretation. If that's not enough, then maybe call someone else, or I'd be happy to pull some cards for you. But that's just really the way it is. And and so explore it as emotion, as being inundated and feeling lost when you relate to other people. And that's my take. So that's all I got for you in that way.
Okay.
So if you'd like me to pull some cards on another question or anything, I'd be happy to. Other than that, it was nice to talk to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. And if anybody else would like to call in, dreams are very interesting things. Our subconscious and our unconscious mind speaks to us through dreams. And if you look at in our everyday life, we talk in words. We say the car went here, the buffalo did that, and we have these symbolic words that represent ideas and thoughts. So I can say the word car to you, and you know what I'm talking about, even though there are endless amount of different cars with different colors, different styles from different eras. And yet we communicate through that way. And if you look at a picture is worth 1,000 words, then a symbol is worth 1,000,000 words, and it really speaks to us. And the message in dreams are very, very powerful, and it speaks in a higher language than words. And it's like Christ and Buddha spoke in parables. And that is because parables or stories go into our unconscious mind, our subconscious mind, as zip files would. And so the zip file opens up and spreads inside of us in a story, like the boy who cried wolf, and any of those other parables that have come through. You get this larger meaning, bigger than words. And dreams are so interesting. I remember somebody came to one of my dream classes many years ago, and he was talking about a dream where this man he was going to go into business with had him by the foot and was pulling him all over the room. He goes, what could that possibly mean? And whenever you have a dream, you look at it literally first and then symbolically. And you can find so much out about that by saying, literally, what was he doing? He was pulling his leg. So as it happened, the person was pulling his leg in the business deal, and that's how his subconscious mind communicated with him. And we have another call, and this is area code 703. And thank you. Let me try it one more time. There we go. That's working. Hi, you're on the air. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Mary. This is David.
Oh, hey, David. How are you? Good to hear from
you.
Hey,
I'm good. Good to hear from you.
Yes. Yes.
Can I get a card reading on my career about becoming a bus driver for Metro?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
So this is a good format for that. Okay, so I'm pulling cards for you right now. Well, first of all, I got to think positively about this. Now, yeah, it may be common sense, but of all the things the cards are, your higher self is communicating to you via the cards. this is the one that it chose. So it's extra important for you to think positively about that. Be optimistic. The next thing I got is talking about directions in life and you looking to go in the right direction. And it shows on the card a football player with a bunch of other football players getting ready to come and tackle, and they're throwing the ball to the receiver out there. And what I'm getting from that is that sometimes you have a lot of input that pulls you in lots of different directions, like TV or bus driving, or you get these new ideas start coming in. It can get very muddled at times, like what do I really want to do with my life? And the final card is a card of validation, like looking and saying what is right for me. And what we tend to do is go around and ask everybody else, is this the right thing for me? And I'm not talking about you calling for a reading. I'm just talking in general, where we make a lot of decisions based in our life based on what other people may think about it, or what other people are feeling about the decision. And so what it's saying is to step back, get more simple, look at what you would really love to do. And I think that driving the bus would be a good move for you, but I would not rule out TV. And I think your first passion is television. And not to rule that out, but certainly go for the bus driving position, because you can always change to
like
something
for
else.
A few months.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it would be a good experience for you. But
yeah.
Overall, I think it's kind of a stressful thing that your talents might be better used to be in a more creative industry like television, because you have a good eye. You're very, very creative. So I think over a long period of time, the bus driving job may not be as fulfilling for you, but certainly a good option for now.
Right. So I should still go for that and then think about going back into TV.
Yes. Yes. I think that would be
okay.
A good idea. Okay. Well, do you have any other questions?
Not that I know of. Thank you for the reading, and it's good to hear from you.
Yes, same here, David. Thanks for calling.
I'll keep
Take
listening
care.
To your show. So.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's see here. We have another call, 608. The area code. Hi, you're on the air. What can I do for you today?
Hi, this is Jane.
Hi, Jane. What can I do for you?
Well, I just plugged in here, and I was wondering if I could have a reading.
Yes, I'd be very happy to. All right. Let's see here. Okay, now I'm just assuming something general. So the first card I got is a card that represents authority in our life. And I feel that there is great power in becoming the authority in our own life. That's like I've said, that it's not so much the dieting that makes us lose weight, but the feeling of self-control and power over desires and self that really does. And I feel like you have worked really hard to gain authority and to get yourself into that kind of a position where you feel you're having mastery over yourself. And sometimes that can lead to issues with other people trying to control situations. But that right now, this is a time where you are being recognized, and it shows a woman receiving a gift, looking inside, and that sometimes for us to move forward, we have to leave things behind. And I worked in offices many years ago when one person would get a promotion or start advancing, that everybody else got so upset or jealous over that, that it makes it uncomfortable for the person who is moving forward. So I would suggest that even if it feels like you're leaving something or someone behind, open up to the great things that are coming to you right now. There is a lot going on. Then there's the card of conclusion, and really nothing is ever concluded until we declare it finished. That's why we can have feuds with people for multi-generations because nobody declares it done. And so this is where I feel you are definitely taking a step away from what was familiar to you before, and it's a good thing, and that sometimes, even if it's a friendship or a relationship, it's okay to just say, I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm. So, sounds good.
And is there any questions you have?
Well, that makes sense. Those cards definitely make sense. How about direction? I just closed a chapter, and just wondering what the next chapter will bring.
Okay. See where you go after that. Well, I would say just from the prior reading about receiving and then bringing to conclusion, I would just reiterate that by completely closing that last chapter and declaring it finished, then you'll be open to preparing for what's coming next. What it is saying is to do research, look into things, and do some more preparation. It shows a person on a unicycle and a rock right in front of their path, and it's saying just rocks don't have any bearing on us if we're watching where we're going, that kind of thing, and that you are prepared and that there might be some study involved. And then that opens up to a celebration. So even in that last reading, it does look like there's something really good coming up for you. Is there like a birthday or something coming up for you or somebody you know?
Well, actually, my birthday is coming up in August.
Okay.
I don't concentrate on my birthdays.
Ah, yeah. Well, I think that there's going to be some good things coming for you there, not just in regards to celebrating your birthday, but there might be a big shift in maybe an offer coming to you around that time.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much. It was lovely to talk with you, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. And thank you for everybody for calling in. And the show is only a half hour this week just because of some things that have come up. But I will be back next week from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30. And I would love to have you call back. And something else I'd like to say about readings is so many times we get this idea. Let me back up a little bit. From our religious history, we are taught that a priest or some deity has to intercede or intervene for our benefit and then talk to the gods and then relay these messages back to us. But the thing is that we all have a direct connect. And this whole ascension process is about getting to know who we really are and taking responsibility for our futures and our presence and taking responsibility for our spiritual evolution. And the old Egyptian mystery schools used to talk about it as being a J-hook. You don't go from that shorter end of the point of the J and jump up to the high end. You have to go down in order to, you have to go into yourself in order to ascend out of it. And so giving your power away to others and saying, this priest knows better for me or this person knows better for me, is a phase in our spiritual development. But now we're at a place where it's really about taking charge, knowing we create, and we use spiritual readings and card readings and our dreams as a method to get to know who we are and gain mastery over our life. And in the age of superstition, so I would invite everybody to explore yourself in knowing that you have infinite power in this way. And I thank everybody for joining me on such short notice today. And I look forward to being back again next Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. So please join me. We'll talk about some interesting things. You can call in for a reading. And a shout out to my dear friend Kevin. I see you in the chat room. Just love you and miss you. And thanks again for everybody calling in. And I look forward to talking to you next week.